Not just anything, not just anything. You've got to say nice things. Pizza, yo, don't shout pizza at me. I'll just get hungry. So if I say something that you agree with or makes you joyful or makes you happy, then you can say something like, come on. Let's give it one of those. Or if you're a bit more traditional, you might want to say amen. Amen. Or you might want to say hallelujah. Very good. Any one of those that fits you, whatever you want to do, just go for it. I want to give it some gusto. Let's just pretend for the next 10 minutes that we're not British, okay? Should we do that? And just give it some beans. Okay, so that's your permission given. Okay, so the grown-ups, while we've been sat in here, we've been reading the book of Matthew, and we've been thinking about Jesus' invitation, the invitation that he gives us into his revolutionary family. Thank you. And one of the... That's what I'm talking about. You've totally thrown me off there. I do appreciate that, though. I shouldn't have said that. Thank you. So, revolutionary families. Now, I think all of us will have an idea of the kind of things that we get up to as a family. What kind of things do families do? Give me some things. What have we got? Board games. Absolutely. What else do families do? Eating. Yep. Barbecue. Praise the Lord. Yeah. Celebrating, very good, very good. So yeah, those are exactly the kind of things that families do. And Jesus' family is just like that. We do all of those things, but we also do more things. We don't just do those family things, we also do different things. Because we've been thinking this term about how we are a revolutionary family. And so the idea of revolution is maybe not quite so familiar to us. Does anyone have an idea of what a revolution is? What is a revolution? Can you give me an example of a revolution?
A massive change, like the French Revolution or something.
Oh, that's a very good example. A massive change. Very good. Anybody else want to add something to that? A massive change. Yes, Rosanna, you've got something to add.
I can't.
Don't worry, I get like that as well sometimes, to be honest, especially when I'm speaking into a microphone. That's a great example. The French Revolution, that's exactly right. A change in the structures of power, very good. Are there any engineers in the room? Any engineers? I know there's a few, yes. Don't worry, it's okay to be an engineer. You don't have to look so shamefaced about it. In the world of engineering, what is a revolution? It's when something spins, when something turns over, isn't it? And a couple of weeks ago, we were reading about when Jesus came to some tables and he revolutioned those, didn't he? He turned those over. But a revolution is basically when something is a certain way and then it gets flipped over and it changes and it's a big change and everything is different. So that is what a revolution is. And I was trying to think, we've got the kiddos in the room today. How do I explain what a revolution is? How do I give them an example of a revolutionary? And I've had an idea. So I'm going to ask Steve or James to put a picture up on the screen. And when you know who this person is, I want you to put your hand in the air. So, do we know who that is? No. What about that? Is it working? It's not working. It's a purpley blue screen, exactly. Well, let's all imagine that a picture of Matilda has just appeared up on there. Who's that? It's Matilda. Congratulations. Well done, everybody. You've got to love it when the tech works, haven't you? So, Matilda, who knows the story of Matilda? Anybody familiar with the story of Matilda? Yes. So, Matilda is a classic British household story. It's told all over the place, and there have been some films made about it, too. Matilda is a really, really good example of a revolutionary. In case you're not familiar with the story, Matilda is a brilliant and extremely intelligent little girl who is not loved and appreciated by her parents, and she's not given the opportunity to go to school. And eventually, she does get the chance to go to school, but she encounters this awful head teacher called Mrs. Trunchbull, and it basically, what Matilda does is she brings about a revolution at home, she brings about a revolution at school, and everything is better after she does it. Matilda is someone who looks at the world around her, and she identifies the things that she thinks are wrong, and she stands up and does something about them. Matilda doesn't wait for somebody else to sort it out. She takes matters into her own hands, doesn't she? And rather than just bringing about a revolution for herself, rather than just making her own life better, she brings about a revolution for a whole school's worth of people. And that got me thinking, if we think back to our experience of school, maybe you're at school at the moment, maybe school is a distant memory, or maybe you're looking forward to going to school soon. What is the one thing that you would change about school? Maybe it's something to do with the work or the lessons or the teachers. Why don't you gather into those little groups of people that you just said hello to and maybe give it 1 or 2 minutes and just feedback to me. I'd really like to know if you could change one thing about your experience of school, what would you change? So have a little conversation with the people around you and then we'll hear from you. Okay, let's hear from some of you guys. Put your hand up if you want to say something into the microphone. Yes.
Less PE.
Less PE. Who's with me? Okay, what have you got?
We should have donuts on Fridays.
Friday donut day. All in favour? Very good. Motion passes. What else have we got?
Boring assemblies.
More or less?
Less of.
Less boring assemblies. Okay, what else have we got? Eleanor?
More aiming on your goals, not the teacher's goals.
Oh! Very good. Well done, Education Secretary. Anybody else? Yes.
Less cliquey friendship groups.
Less cliquey friendship groups. Yeah, I bet. Okay, I'm going to go for one more. One more. One more. Yep, Rosanna.
Go on, say something.
Have you forgotten again? Never mind. We'll get there, Rosanna. We will get there.
We'd get rid of uniforms because it's never a level playing field.
Get rid of the uniforms. Anybody else in favour of that one? No, no. I think you've got some people to convince there. Come to school in your pyjamas. I'm hearing come to school in your pyjamas. Nobody would want that. Okay, thank you. Thank you for humouring me. I appreciate that. And so, at the end of the story of Matilda, she leads this massive revolution against the Trunchbull, and there's a new order that comes into play. Miss Honey is now in charge. The children are allowed to have fun and express themselves. It's just a wonderful moment, isn't it? It's a happy ending at the end of the book. It's a happy home, it's a happy school, and it's all good. What I want us to do is just imagine for a minute, if you hold that picture in your head, just imagine if the revolution that Matilda achieved at her school actually changed the way that all of the schools in her city functioned. Just imagine if, rather than just one school, all of the schools in the city completely changed as a consequence. And now imagine if, instead of every school in the city, every single school in the entire country, every school in England changed as a consequence of Matilda's revolution. It was just so much bigger than she had imagined. She'd brought about a revolution, but it was now affecting every single school everywhere. And then what if, just imagine if Matilda's revolution actually changed every single school in the entire world. So there's no more nasty school meals, no more uniform, no more PE, nothing like that, just only really happy schools, totally creative. Imagine if Matilda's revolution in her one little school actually changed all of the schools in the entire world. Just imagine that. And now imagine that Matilda's revolution actually changed all of the schools in the entire universe. And there's alien planets with little green men with Matilda and... Okay, I've taken it a little bit too far, but you kind of get what I mean. Just imagine if the thing that Matilda achieved in her school was just enormously bigger, ridiculously more than she could have ever imagined. Well, today, as I said at the beginning, is the best day of the year. Today is Easter Sunday when we remember and celebrate that Jesus rose from the grave into new life after 3 days. Thank you very much. And today we celebrate that what Jesus achieved when he rose was very much like Matilda, that it had an amazing impact in the town that he lived in. It had a huge impact in the country that he lived in. But actually what Jesus achieved on Easter Sunday when he rose from the dead was way bigger and ridiculously more than anyone could have ever imagined. Amen. But it didn't seem like that a few days ago. Hands up, who was there at Maundy Thursday? Anybody reading along with that? Yeah, it didn't seem like that a few days ago. We were engaging with Jesus' journey to the cross. We talked about how Jesus was betrayed by his friends, how he was arrested and put on trial, how he was found innocent and sentenced to death, and we heard about how he was crucified, killed by the Romans, and buried in the ground. And one of the things that we've been doing this week is we've been trying to imagine what it must have been like to have been one of Jesus' closest friends, one of those friends who'd followed him, who'd given up everything for him, and had such high hopes on what he would do. When Jesus died on the cross, how do you think his friends felt? Devastated. Stupid. Awful. terrified, confused, betrayed. Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. For Jesus' best friend, this was the worst thing that could have happened. The best person who had ever lived had died. But worse, because he was dead, the revolution that Jesus had started, it was over. Jesus was always talking about his revolutionary family. He called it the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven. And he was always talking about how in the revolutionary family, people would get healed of their sickness and they'd seen it. He was talking about how in the revolutionary family, people would be set free from everything that was holding them back and they'd seen it. They would talk about how in the revolutionary family, people would know God, that there would be no more loneliness, and they had seen it. But now Jesus was dead. And he was buried in a tomb, and the revolution was over. And all the good stuff and all the things they'd hoped to see had gone forever. Or had it? Or had it? I've asked my friend Steve to come and read what happens next. So Steve, do you want to come up?
Jesus' friends were sad. They would never see their best friend again. How could this happen? Was Jesus, the rescuer, the king God had promised? It wasn't supposed to end like this. Yes, but whoever said anything about the end? Just before sunrise, on the third day, God sent an earthquake and an angel from heaven. When the guards saw the angel, they fell down with fright. The angel rolled the huge stone away, sat on top of it, and waited. At the first glimmer of dawn, Mary Magdalene and other women headed to the tomb to wash Jesus' body. The early morning sun slanted through the ancient olive trees, drops of dew glittering on leaves and grasses, little tears everywhere. The friends walked quietly along the hilly path through the olive groves until they reached the tomb and immediately noticed something odd. It was wide open. They peered through the opening into the dark tomb. But wait, Jesus' body was gone. And something else. A shining man was there with clothes made from lightning. Don't be scared, the angel said, but they couldn't help it. They screamed anyway. The angel asked them, "What are you doing here? This is a tomb, and tombs are for dead people." The women couldn't speak. "Jesus isn't dead anymore," he said. "He's alive again." And their hearts leapt. And then the angel laughed with such gladness that they felt for a moment as if they'd woken from a nightmare. The other women rushed home, but Mary stayed behind. How could it be true? Jesus was definitely dead. How could he be alive? Just then, Mary heard someone else in the garden. "Perhaps it's the gardener," she thought. "He'll know where Jesus' body is." "I don't know where Jesus is," Mary said urgently. "I can't find him." But it was all right. Jesus knew where she was, and he had found her. Mary. Only one person said her name like that. She could hear her heart thumping. She turned around. She could just make out a figure. She shaded her eyes to see and thought she was dreaming. But she wasn't dreaming. She was seeing. "Jesus!" Mary fell to the ground. Sudden tears filled her eyes, and great sobs shook her whole body. And all she wanted in that moment was to cling to Jesus and never let him go. "You'll be able to hold on to me later, Mary," Jesus said gently, "and always be close to me. But now, go and tell the others I'm alive." Mary ran and ran all the way to the city. She had never run so fast or so far in all her life. She felt like she could have run forever. She didn't even feel like her feet touched the ground. The sun seemed to be dancing and gleaming and bounding across the sky, racing with her and shining brighter than she could ever remember in the clear, fresh air. And it seemed to her that morning, as she ran, almost as if the whole world had been made anew, almost as if the whole world was singing for joy. The trees, tiny sounds in the grass, the birds, her heart. Was God really making everything sad come untrue? Was he making even death come untrue? She couldn't wait to tell Jesus' friends. They won't believe it, she laughed. She was right, of course.
Thank you, Steve. Jesus is alive! Hooray! I love that. It's great. It's the best and most miraculous thing that could have happened. And now, all of a sudden, all of those hopes that died with Jesus have been rekindled. All of those things that Jesus' friends hoped would come to pass can now come to pass. The revolution was back. Jesus was back. Jesus was alive. But do you remember what I said earlier on, that point that I took too far about Matilda being on the moon and teaching some aliens how to read? Remember that? How Matilda's revolution, what if it was so much bigger than she could have even imagined? Well, Jesus' friends started to learn that Jesus' revolution was actually way bigger than they thought too. Jesus, this is the moment where you're allowed to shout things at me, just to let you know. So Jesus' friends thought that Jesus was coming to overthrow the Roman army, but instead, they started to realize that because Jesus had rose from the dead, the revolution was way bigger, and that instead Jesus was overthrowing violence and oppression everywhere. Jesus' friends thought that Jesus was coming to bring freedom only to the Jews. It's like only if Matilda's revolution had happened in the UK. But instead, they started to realize that because Jesus rose from the dead, the revolution was way bigger. Instead, Jesus was bringing freedom to all nations everywhere. His friends thought that his revolution was only for their time, but they started to realize that it was even bigger, that what Jesus was doing would stretch into the future and into the past as well. Jesus' friends thought the revolution was about healing relationships between people, but they started to realize that actually it was way bigger, and that Jesus rising from the dead meant that it was healing our relationship with the world as well. Jesus' friends thought that it was just about healing people's sick bodies, but they started to realize that it was way bigger, and that because Jesus rose from the dead, he had defeated death itself. Amen? Amen. When Jesus rose from the dead, he proved that his revolution was not over, that it was still going, and that it was much, much bigger and much, much better and much, much more powerful than anyone could have ever imagined. And not only is the revolution not over, he's handed it over to us to continue the revolution on his behalf. We get to be Jesus' revolutionary family in every place we go and everything we do. If we put our trust in Jesus, if we choose to be his followers, we can join his revolutionary family. We get to be like Matilda. We get to bring the revolution in our schools, in our workplaces, on our streets, in the clubs that we go to, at the supermarket, at the hospital, at the petrol station, at the park, at your friend's house, everywhere that we go in the name of Jesus. That means that when we see something that is just not right, we get to stand up and confront it and say, I'm not going to stand for that. That means that when we come across somebody who's sick or injured, we get to say, I want to pray for you to be healed. That means that when we come across someone who is lonely or thinks that they are worthless, we get to invite that person into community and to celebrate that they get to be part of the revolution as well. It is way bigger and way better than we could think or imagine, and we get to be part of it. We get to be Jesus' revolutionary family. Amen? Amen. Right, we're going to wrap this up with Jesus' final words, the moment when he truly sends out the first wave of the revolutionary family. when he gives them the first baton, a baton that has been passed down from generation to generation until this day. So why don't we all stand together? And I want you to just put your hand in the air if you're a follower of Jesus. Put your hand in the air if you are a member of the revolutionary family. But also put your hand in the air if you want to be part of the revolutionary family. Maybe you've never said yes to Jesus before. This is a day to say, yeah, I'm in. Let's do this. And I want to imagine that you have a baton in your hand like a relay race. You're holding a baton, and that baton has been passed down to you over 2,000 generations of followers of Jesus, members of the revolutionary family, passing it on and passing it on and passing it on. And you've got one in your hand today. And this is what Jesus says to us. Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. Jesus, we stand here today as your revolutionary family. Our hands are in the air. We're saying, yes, I'm in. I'm in. Thank you for this baton in my hand. Thank you for this instruction to go and make disciples. Jesus, I will pass this baton on. Jesus, thank you that you invited me into your family. Jesus, thank you for your sacrifice. Thank you that you rose from the dead. Amen.